This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Don't get downhearted. Yes, City won. But Arsenal once again kept their title challenge alive with a massive 3-0 win over arguably the trickiest side they have left to face this season. Arsenal's title challenge goes on, the hope continues, and we will pray for a slip-up. This is the Arsenal Raw Reaction Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is our reaction show, joining you every single morning after the game before, which of course is Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 0. I nearly said Bournemouth City for a second, but AFC Bournemouth 0. It is, of course, it's strange. It's a really odd feeling, I have to admit. It's really strange because usually, you know, I'd be jumping around the room, dancing into the studio to talk about Arsenal's win. But there's something about title races in this specific era of football that do genuinely drain you. It does. It's really draining. Winning games and then seeing, obviously, your rival, of course, who you need to slip up, not slip up and win rather emphatically as well. So I'm not going to pretend or ignore the elephant in the room that, of course, does exist, that Arsenal are reliant upon their rivals to slip up. But at the same time, I think it is important to continue to praise, discuss, take in, appreciate how good we are as well and what we're doing and the fact that we're here and the fact that we're one game and one win away from taking the title race until the final game of the season. Arsenal picked up their 26th win of the campaign, which equals that of the Invincible side. They scored their 88th goal, which equals that of the highest Premier League scoring Arsenal team in history, which was last season, with two games still to play, meaning both of those records could be beaten by this side, and yet we still might not win the league. And that is the reality. That is what we're up against, and that is how hard it is to win the league. And you have to look at how good we have been and how good we are at the moment. Bournemouth are an incredibly competitive and challenging side. If the season started on the 1st of November, they would be fifth right now. That's how many points they've picked up. More points than Chelsea, more points than Spurs, more points than Man United, more points than Newcastle, than Brighton. All these teams, they would be sitting fifth and pretty looking at a European campaign next season. They are a very good side. And Arsenal utterly and entirely dominated them. We're going to talk about all that and more very shortly. Good morning to those joining us live in the chat box. Thank you so much for doing so. Martin Arasilki, Paul NSW, Darren Kaiser, Shari, Matt G, Tabani. We've got Barry T. We've got Damien Jalali, Stephen, Rob Paul, Barry. We've got other Martin. We've got Ismail. We've got Jose Samuel Odorile. We've got Carl and Johan. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world. Had a really good day yesterday at the game. Enjoyed watching the fixture. Met some listeners as well, which is always great to do. A lovely man called Stuart, who I met inside the stadium as well. And hearing people's stories, how they listen to the show. It's people that never leave a comment, but just listen in the shadows and listen quietly. And a fair play to them. You know, we always give a big up to the people that leave comments every single day on the show. And, of course, listen on catch up. But there are people that don't necessarily want to do that, don't want to leave a comment, don't just, you know, want to listen and enjoy the show. So to those of you that are, like Stuart, the people that do listen without commenting, just want to quickly say thank you to all of you. You don't need to join in with the chat. It's an amazing experience and an amazing community. But for those that do listen in silence, thank you for your listenership. You are incredibly appreciated. If you're listening on audio platforms, make sure you hop over to YouTube and drop a like. Help us to reach 1K every single day. That is what we're hoping to achieve on the channel as we continue our title challenge of sorts. Anyway, let's jump into today's slides, shall we? Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 0. Just keep winning. It's as simple as that. Take the advice of little old Dory and slightly tweak her words. So just keep winning. Just keep winning. Because that's all we need to do right now is to keep on moving forwards. Keep on picking up points and keep on taking this to the final game of the season, which Arsenal, of course, as I say, will do if they win for the second time in 19 years at Old Trafford next week in the league. It's going to be very important for Arsenal to do that. And Manchester United, of course, played today. A lot of pressure on them, of course, and still rumours surrounding Erik ten Hag, which I'm very much looking forward to you seeing. The question I asked Martin Odegaard, which will be out later on tonight as well, after the game. You'll have a good giggle at that, I'm sure. But in terms of Arsenal's performance, it was dominant. It was brilliant. It was everything but just lacking that final touch and final finish. In the end, it didn't matter. That this could have been, again, another game where we're 4, 5, 6, 7 up. And when I look at that Aston Villa fixture, which I know is the one that sticks in people's minds because it's the game that we lost that we shouldn't have lost because we created so much, we just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. Arsenal created the chances. We think about that Trossard opportunity from like 2 yards out that Martinez got a foot to. Those opportunities that should have seen Arsenal clear at that point as well. This was in some ways feeling quite similar at times, but thankfully there was a very big decision made, but we'll talk about that just after we've talked about a worse decision from the game. And this is the third time in 4 matches that opposition sides have got away with what is, in my opinion, a blatant and horrific red card challenge. We've had Kilman on Havertz. We've had Jackson on Tomiyasu. And now we've had Christie on Saka. 3 times in 4 games. Arsenal should have been up against 10 men and they've not been. And we talk continually about the standard of officiating. Now, in this game, ironically, the ineptitude and the poor officiating actually went in Arsenal's favour. And I'll talk to you about that shortly. But just for this incident here, 3rd time in 4 games that Arsenal should have been up against 10 men and other players have taken red cards. There's other images of Saka's leg, which was severely. I mean, it was relatively cut. I don't want to talk about severe. I'm sure there's much worse injuries we've seen than the one that Saka showed on TNT Sports yesterday. But, you know, the guy's drawing blood from his leg, going studs down on his shin. It's just terrible, terrible challenge. He didn't even get booked, by the way, for this. Didn't even get booked for it. Neither did Kilman. And I don't think Jackson did either, to be honest. So, yeah, the standard is very, very low indeed. But Arsenal benefited from that poor officiating because I'm going to be very humble. I'm going to be magnanimous here. Havertz dives. He dives. Yes, there's contact. Yes, Travers comes out. Yes, he slides in. And yes, he makes contact with Havertz's trailing leg. And it is that trailing leg. If this was the other way around, I would be fuming if someone had got a penalty for this. I would be utterly beside myself if this was the other way around. Havertz just, it's part of him. He just does this. He does it a lot. He does trail his legs. He does go to ground very easily. And in my opinion, just like I did say in the Bayern game, he should just skip around the goalkeeper and put the ball in the back of the net. The ball's past him. It's not gone really far ahead of him. He can just jump over Travers, put the ball in the back of an empty net. But goodness gracious me, Havertz is going down. You can say that the contact's there. You can say the goalkeeper's going into him, but you have to look at the positioning of Havertz. You have to look at what he's doing to initiate the contact, initiate him going down. It's a dive. I just, for all those that are disagreeing with me in the chat box, you're more than entitled to do that. But none of you will convince me that if this was the other way around, that you would not be in hysterics shouting and screaming that the opposition player initiated contact and that they were going down before the contact with the goalkeeper was made. There is no one in this room that can convince me that you would not all be screaming in frustration if this was the other way around. So for me, this was not a penalty, and Arsenal really did benefit from in the end, a poor refereeing decision. The bar, of course, Clive says it's a Harry Kane penalty, which, you know, again, it's true. Like it's just you can call it clever. You can call it riding your luck. For me, I'd rather have Ertz just skips over Travers and puts the ball in the back of the empty net and not give the referee or VAR any decision. But Clive is right. It is without a doubt a Harry Kane penalty. But there's no one here that's convincing me at all that if this was not the other way around, that you wouldn't be utterly and entirely fuming that it was given. So you can clay, you can sit there and shout and scream at me all you like, but none of you are convincing me otherwise on there. Anyway, Trossard and Rice getting the job done in the second half. Arsenal continued to be dominant. There were chances for Bournemouth. And again, I think that Arsenal get very, very fortunate. We'll talk about Trossard's goal first. Really good play. We get a little bit fortunate with the ball getting and squirming its way through to Saka on the edge of the box. To Rice on the edge of the box. Rice then plays a very good ball to Trossard. And if there's one man that you want with an opportunity to score, it's Leandro Trossard. He is the best finisher at this football club. And I will just continually pound into the ground those views of some of you that listen and say, Trossard is only good when he comes off the bench. BS. That view is done. That view is in the ground. That view is over. Trossard's got, I think, 11 goals in something like 16 starts for Arsenal. He's done a very, very good job. At least that's what Joe was telling me from NBC yesterday. I think he was double-checking his stats. But he's got a silly number of goals from starts now. And that view that he's better coming off the bench, it just doesn't exist anymore. He's just good. He's good if he starts. He's good if he comes off the bench. You can have the view of both existing in the same scenario. He is good in both. And we're very, very, very lucky to have him. I can't remember the guy's name that put a message in the chat box saying they would sell Trossard in the summer. My goodness me, is Leandro Trossard certainly doing all he can to rubbish that point of view. But fantastic from Leandro Trossard, who has had a very, very good campaign indeed. And then, of course, Declan Rice finishing off the game for us. Fantastic finish. Brilliant ball from Gabriel Jesus, by the way, to play him through. And I'm so glad that Rice didn't cut it back and instead actually just decided to go for it, which was great as well. But fantastic stuff from Trossard and Rice to secure those 3 points for us. But, and there is a but here. Again, Bournemouth's goal that should have stood. I don't know how it gets ruled out. I don't see where the foul is. I think the only reason they've got to rule this goal out is that Solanke is like looking at Raya when Solanke kind of makes some contact with it. Again, if that's the other way around, I am utterly beside myself with frustration and anger that Arsenal have been disallowed a perfectly good goal. There is absolutely no way on earth that goal should have been ruled out. Bournemouth scored a very, very good goal. They were very unfortunate with the first shot, I think, from Christie that hit the bar. And then they ruled out this for kind of Solanke brushing Raya a bit. It's not a foul. It's just not. It's ridiculous. And if you're claiming that it is, you are leaning into the biggest of biases ever. And again, just like the penalty, you will never convince me otherwise that you wouldn't be utterly and entirely fuming if that got against Arsenal the other end of the field. You just won't convince me. If anything, Gabriel, I think, creates the problem himself with his presence in that situation. So yeah, there's some very biased people in the chat box. Fair play to you. Stand by, stick to your guns. I don't blame you. Stick to your guns, guys. But I'm going to be more magnanimous than that and say that I don't think we should have had a penalty, and I don't think that they should have had their goal ruled out either. But we still deserve to win the game very comfortably. So that's not a problem at all. My man of the match, a lot of people picked Rice. Of course, he scored a very good goal. We had a very good performance, did Rice. But my man of the match was William Saliba. I thought William Saliba was absolutely stunning in this game. I thought he was dominant. I thought his tackling was calm. It's one of the few performances really outperformed, like, considerably Gabriel. Gabriel had a bit of a moment in the first half, of course, where he allowed Solanke to get through. brilliant tackle from Saliba to stop him from scoring at a really important point in the game. Really confident and composed on the right-hand side. Nicked the ball away from a couple of their forwards in attacks. So good. So good again. And I think he was absolutely robbed by Declan Rice in terms of the Man of Match award. I thought Saliba was by far our best player on the pitch and was really important. And considering we were so dominant as well, when you think that a centre-half deserves Man of the Match when you've been such a dominant, it shows you how impactful, how influential they've been. He should have scored as well. There was a great moment where you never see William Saliba in the box in those moments, do you? Cutting on his left foot, curling an effort at Travers. If only he'd scored. Both our centre-halves could have scored two brilliant goals if it wasn't, of course, for Travers making a good save and Saliba's finish not being the best. And Gabriel's shot that goes in the top left-hand corner. I've never seen a man so angry that his teammate has played him offside. Like, he's not been played offside. Havertz is just offside in the build-up. So frustrating. Like, Havertz just being in the wrong place at the wrong time when Ødegaard played that ball in. Because what a strike from Gabriel Magalhaes to score at the top left-hand corner. But yeah, William Saliba deserves so many plaudits for this game. I think I actually have a slide on Gabriel. I've kind of talked through it already, but yeah, poor Gabriel. What a shot. What an absolute stunner of an effort from Gabriel. I was so gutted for him. He was clearly so frustrated as well afterwards. And even when the camera had like panned away and you couldn't see Gabriel anymore, he was still so visibly angry that it had been ruled out for offside because he knew what an unbelievable effort he'd just put into the top left-hand corner. So yeah, Gabriel, I'm really sorry, mate. But yeah, that one doesn't count and it sucks. And what else sucks is that Man City went and won very comfortably in the afternoon. I don't really want to talk too much about it. The penalty that they had, a little bit up and down. I think it probably is a penalty, though. Wolves just kind of turned over, rather frustratingly. You know, it is what it is. We just keep our fingers crossed that they will drop points. That's all we can do. Liverpool fans will tell us that this is what they've been doing for year on year on year. Just hoping that that Man City drop points. It's frustrating, of course, because we've beaten City and we've beaten Liverpool and we've drawn in both of their grounds as well. We've gone unbeaten against big six sides. It's very frustrating. I love the biases of you guys in the chat box saying that they shouldn't have had a penalty as well. Again, if it was an Arsenal player that was in that moment, you'd be screaming for it. You'd be absolutely screaming for it. But Arsenal are in a really good place moving forwards. We're continually optimistic and we're hoping that something happens. But even if it doesn't, if Arsenal don't end up winning the league, they've taken the title race the last two games of the season. Unbelievable achievement, you know, considering what we're up against. And I'm really looking forward to where this team is ultimately going. Right, let's go to part two and your questions right after this. Okay, let's jump into the chat box, shall we? Let's go to Patrick. Says, the Bournemouth keeper slid in and made contact. Look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't really want this second half of the show to be filled with he said, she said about penalties. You have your opinion, I have my opinion. And you've got to learn that people have different views. You're not going to convince me otherwise. I've seen it several times. I saw it in the flesh. I saw it via replay. Over and over again at full speed, at slow speed. For me, the decisions in the City game, they got right. The decisions in the Arsenal game, they got wrong. And that's just my opinion. And it's up to you. Peter says, are you an Arsenal fan, really? And this is the thing. Like, if you're very much an Arsenal fan that is going to incline to lean towards the biases of your views, that's fine. You're entitled to do that. And I don't blame you for it. It's just not how I do it. I just don't. I see it in a different way. I try and look at it. I try and take my Arsenal hat and I try and put my Arsenal hat onto a different person sometimes where I'm thinking, if that was happening to Arsenal, if that was the other way around, how would I feel about it? And that's the way I kind of judge these situations. You can call it, as Clive does, a Harry Kane penalty. That's absolutely fine. If you want to call it that, I think that's a really good way of putting it. But you're not going to convince me of the way that I view it. And it's just as simple as that. John says, Tom, do you think that Rice is a better six or an eight? And if so, what position? I feel like, John, I get asked this question a lot at the moment because I think my answer for the moment stays the same. It depends very much on the summer, mate, to be honest. I think he's excellent at both. And so because of that, I think it very much depends on who we sign as to what happens with Rice moving forwards. Mr. Thuggy says, I just feel like there is a mistake in Raya after the North London Derby last week. He kind of had a moment yesterday as well as a crucial time. I know he got the golden glove, but still, maybe it's just me. Did you see the save he made against Solanke in the second half? Solanke's through on the left-hand side, left-footed shot low. Raya gets down really well. He commanded his box again very, very well indeed, as best he could. You know, I think that Raya had a good game yesterday and really made some important moments, important interceptions. There was a moment where I think it was Gabriel Saliba, one of them played a really like short pass back to him and Solanke looked like he might get through on goal. He was quick, he was alert, alive to it and played the ball out very calmly again as well. So again, I think Raya had a good game. I think unfortunately he's suffering with a little bit of, there's a little bit of scapegoating maybe going on with Raya. I think he's had a very good season. He's a worthy winner of the Golden Glove. Yes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. He's had a very good defence in front of him, but he's still got to do his job as well. Adam says, what will happen to Ramsdale? He'll probably be sold, mate. We might be seeing the final game of the season may indeed be Ramsdale's last time in an Arsenal shirt. We'll have to wait and see if indeed he even plays, which I don't think he will. So we might be the last time we see Ramsdale as an Arsenal player. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess. Sam says, the only thing I will say is every fan base does it and look at how much we give stick to them. We'd rather stay humble and call a spade, even if it's not the favourites of a team because I want some as well. Of course, I'd rather stay as grounded as I can, Sam, about these decisions. That's what I prefer to do. And I always try and put myself in the shoes of the other team. And if it was flipped, how would I feel about it? Matt G says, Tom, could you explain how SofaScore works? How does Havertz get a score of 8.6, the highest in our entire team, without scoring or assisting? I don't know how SofaScore's algorithms work. I assume it's to do with pass completion, key passes, chance creation, duels won, defensive contributions. He's all over, is Havertz. He does so much for Arsenal. It's as simple as that. And that's probably why he gets such a good score. Senki says, Raya is good, but not great. I disagree. I think he is a great goalkeeper. I don't think he's an elite goalkeeper yet. He could potentially be an elite goalkeeper. Alisson wasn't an elite goalkeeper when he arrived at Liverpool. Edison wasn't an elite goalkeeper when he arrived at Manchester City. They became elite goalkeepers through their performances and they made big mistakes in their first couple of seasons. And not even in their first couple of seasons, in the current seasons, they've made mistakes. But playing at the level that they've played at, doing the things that they've done, they've improved and become two of the most elite goalkeepers in the world. So to say he's not great, I think he's incredibly harsh. I think he is a great goalkeeper. I just don't think he's an elite goalkeeper yet. So Nicholas says, Tom, watch the highlights again. On the third goal, I couldn't believe how late in the build-up Rice shows up. He's nowhere to be seen. And suddenly, last second, he comes blazing into frame. It's great as well. Yeah, he's very good at kind of judging when and when not to move and make runs. And he's learned a lot of that this season because he's been playing a lot of a role that he didn't at West Ham. He's evolved as a player. He's become a much better player. I thought he was world-class before he arrived at Arsenal. He's certainly world-class now. There's not much debate about it. Ian says, what did you make of the drop-off in the second half before Trossard scores? It reminded me of the Villa game. I think it was a little bit unsurprising, Ian, to be honest. We were so dominant in the first half. There was always going to be a bit of an ebb and a flow in the second half where Bournemouth would get more encouragement, where they would play on the front foot a bit more because they'd gone behind. You know, in the first half, in the majority of the first half, the score was 0-0. They didn't have the same motivation, the same reason to be that, you know, what's the word? Overcommitting themselves, I guess, as they did. So it was always going to happen, Ian, that the second half did ebb and flow somewhat a bit more than the first because we took the lead by that point. It doesn't concern me. The Villa game, I think, was different. Ultimately, Villa were a lot more attacking when the score was at 0-0. And the second half, they changed and exploited Arsenal's desperation to try and get a goal in the second half and use that to their benefit. And we made mistakes in that game as well. Ultimately, we gave the ball away too cheaply. We were poor defensively. We didn't stop the crosses and we got a little bit unlucky as well. But it is what it is. We should have scored our chance in the first half and taken the game away from Villa in that game. But I don't think there was too many similarities because I just think it was a different game state at that point in the second half yesterday. Ondervolle says, if Arteta doesn't deliver any trophy this season, in your opinion, when should the accountability on delivering trophies be set in place? I told you, the next contract, mate. I've said this a number of times. In Arteta's next contract, he has to deliver a title or a Champions League. If he doesn't deliver a title or a Champions League in the next contract, it's probably because he's taken us as far as he can take us. That's where I think. And I think at that point, you start thinking, are Arsenal going to be able to go? But it also depends a lot on the context of what happens in those years as well. You know, Arsenal with Manchester City potentially losing Pep after a year, with Liverpool losing Klopp, of course, at the end of this season. And we'll hopefully get some answers as to the ongoing investigation regarding the alleged financial breaches of Manchester City. We'll see what happens with that. For me, Arsenal have to deliver a title or a Champions League in the next contract for Arteta. But there is no debate about whether he's earned the next deal. There isn't a sane person on earth that could argue against the idea of Arteta not getting another contract. We have progressed. We have become a title challenger. And at the moment, if Arsenal do not win the league, it will most likely be because we finished two or just a few more points behind a treble-winning Manchester City side that have won and will have won, if they win it this season, six of the last seven titles. I want to see more in the cup competitions. I want to see us do more in the FA Cup. I want to see us go further in the Champions League. The League Cup's always, I see, as a little bit of bonus. I don't necessarily rate the competition too much. I think that's a lot to do with how it's been ultimately framed. And that's just, it is sad the way the League Cup has kind of diminished itself, but it is a distraction. If anything, it shouldn't be a two-legged semi-final. That should be scrapped. It probably shouldn't have a sponsor attached to it. It probably should just be the League Cup. And it should have a greater reward at the end of it as well. The reward of the League Cup is a UEFA Conference League qualification spot. And it should have more financial incentive to it as well. At the moment, the reputation of the League Cup is in the absolute gutter. And so I never really look at it. Whenever you see a situation where a club win it, like Man United, would I swap places with Man United because they won the League Cup? No, I wouldn't. I think Arsenal's position and where Arsenal are going is too great to ignore. There's no sane argument that gets rid of Arteta. None at all. I mean, I'm always welcome to have people on the show to debate that point. They rarely ever sharpen. When they do, they never come up with any kind of sound points. But I always welcome it. Patrick says, don't worry. If City draw a game, which has to happen for goal difference to be relevant, then that automatically means we extend that difference again as we'd have won our matches, adding to our goal difference as well. The goal difference remains slightly relevant. I don't think it will matter. It depends how much City roll over Spurs by, and I do expect them to roll over Spurs. There's six goals between us and Manchester City. I expect Arsenal to beat Manchester United and go to the final game. City, of course, will play two games before Arsenal play their last game of the season. They will play Fulham next weekend, and then they'll play Spurs in midweek. I really hope that we've got something to be chatting about on the final day. Winning against Manchester United is ultimately going to be a great achievement, because what it will mean is that we have taken the title race to the last day. And that, you know, that's what a lot of people ask for. It solidifies the fact that Arsenal were in a title race this season, of course, as well. So that stops anyone from saying that wasn't the case. So I really hope that we can do it. I just really want to rub it in Erik ten Hag's face. All of the whinging and whining of that man saying they deserve to beat us. I really hope we go to Old Trafford and absolutely turn them over. I really hope that we do. We never really do that well when we play at Old Trafford. So I'm hoping that we can finally go there and put right the wrongs of 2022, because that game was so annoying. Yeah, really, really irritating. Man Lutata says, Tom, would you touch that trophy given to you by Spurs? Yeah, it's the most Spursy thing of all time. If Spurs somehow get a result against City, which I don't really like goading them, to be honest, because it doesn't give them a reason to want to, but it would be the most Spursy thing ever if Spurs getting a result against City means that Arsenal win the league. That would be the most Spurs thing to ever exist. Maximus aside, Tom, I understand where you're coming from, but both decisions were correct per Premier League rules. I don't want to go into this. You know my view. I don't think they were at all. You could argue per Premier League rules in terms of how VAR gets involved, I guess. If the ref if the ref does, if ref gives the penalty, it's never going to be overturned because there was contact. But equally, if the ref didn't give the penalty, VAR is never going to give it. And then the goal, if the referee doesn't rule the goal out, I don't think the VAR overturns it. And that's the problem with VAR right now. But again, I don't want to get hung up on this. Adam says, Nwobi hat-trick, Elano clean sheet, Cedric going on loan again and winning man of the match. I hope so, Adam. I hope that you're right. I hope Bert Leno is on it. I hope Alex Iwobi has got all the motivation in the world to get a result for us. They've beaten us already this season, Fulham at their place. Let's just hope and pray they can do it to Manchester City as well. This is their last couple of away games. They've got one more home game, two away. Look, frankly, if they win their last three games, they deserve to win the league. They can't really be too much about that. Willian masterclass. Yes. A Willian masterclass. Is Willian fit? Has Willian been playing recently? I feel like I've completely removed myself from watching Fulham. I don't know why. I think ever since they beat us, I've just kind of been like looking at him with absolute frustration and disdain. I assume that he's been playing. Yeah, he started the last game, the 0-0 against Brentford. I mean, their form isn't great. They've won one of their last 7 games. They did beat Spurs 3-0 at home, so that gives me hope. They beat Brighton 3-0 at home. They beat us 2-1 at home. They've beaten Bournemouth 3-1 at home. At that point, a good Bournemouth. They did lose to Burnley at home, to be fair, but not a great result. They lost to Chelsea at home again. Not too great. They lost to Man United at home as well. So they're a really odd team, Fulham. They can sometimes turn up and sometimes they don't. So it's a bit of a lottery. So let's wait and see. Good and lads, isn't the last time Man City won at Tottenham 2018? If that's the case, hopefully they can get something. Honestly, I'm never, ever going to be in the mind state to ever give any kind of hope that the Manchester City are going to do Arsenal any kind of favours. I just can't believe that it will exist. I just can't believe that it will. So I'm not going to keep my hopes up whatsoever. Taheem says, bro, which position should Arsenal sign in the summer? Centre mid, right wing, centre forward, defence, maybe two, and goalkeeper. That's what we need to bring in. And that's, by the way, a competitor to David Raya, of course, with Ramsdale moving on. It's interesting, isn't it? We say competitor to David Raya. Do we want a competitor or do we want an established number two to kind of take the pressure off that kind of position? Patrick says, I have a feeling that Spurs will roll over. They'll have nothing to play for. I don't think they will have anything to play for. You're right at that point. I don't expect them to have anything at all. Walking Man says, Spurs are getting battered by City. Let's all accept that. And if it doesn't happen, then great. I'm certainly going into that game with no expectation. I'm not sure I'm even going to watch it. I'm not sure I'm going to watch that game. I think I'm just going to go out and just keep my fingers crossed that they do something. But I don't think that they will. And Granddaddy Guna says, goal difference only matters if we win both our games and they draw one. So one game for them will have no goal advantage. So they would probably need more than 10 in the last two. Maybe you're right. But you never know. City can easily put 5-6 past the team sometimes. So it's difficult to know if that's going to be the case. And if they do draw, of course, that does limit the number of games they can actually score goals in, I guess, as well. Chris says, Tom, with Rice's excellent performance as an 8, I suggest signing Joshua Kimmich and keeping Partey and manage his minutes. Kimmich can cover it right back for White. What's your take? Chris, I have been on the Joshua Kimmich hype train for quite some time. Whenever you hear, I just want to put this out there. If you ever hear Clive Palmer on the Arsenal Vision talking about why we should sign Joshua Kimmich and he doesn't give me any credit, just saying, I'm going to sue him for copyright. Because, frankly, I've been pushing this Kimmich train for a long, 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 long time. So there you go. Troy says, Tom, I know you've already given City the edge, and I understand that. They're a well-oiled machine and looking unstoppable. But I had a dream that Arsenal won the Premier League title last week. Well, it's done. Troy's had a dream. Troy knows what's coming. But Troy, let me know, because I know, Troy, you're one of the biggest doubters of Leandro Trossard. He started and scored yesterday. Started and scored against Wolves. He started and scored against Chelsea. Surely your view has changed, Troy, on Trossard now. Surely you've got to hold those hands up and say, you know what, Tom? I was wrong. Leandro Trossard is just as good as when he starts as when he comes off the bench as well. I want to hear it, Troy. I want to hear it. Justin says, goal difference is down to 6. I think they may, and also they have that game in hand. They could batter Spurs 6-0. You never know. They could beat Spurs 6-0. John says, is Kimmich available? Potentially. His contract's got one more year left on it. He, I think, wants to see kind of what's going to happen with the new manager at Bayern before he makes a decision, but he hopefully will. Troy says, yes, I doubted Trossard. I am impressed. There you go. See, this is what we're about. I think if I get things wrong, I hold my hands up. But I would encourage you guys to do the same, as we just have done there. Wontong Soup says, Ange is at catch 22 with that Man City game. If he wins the game, Spurs fans will want him out. If he loses it, it's then another nail in his coffin. I don't necessarily think that that will be the case, to be honest. I don't think that it will be the case at all. What is going on? Pico, what are you doing? Stop spamming my chat box. Jackie says, also, how poor are United and Newcastle if Spurs are able to lose four games without being caught as well? Yeah, you're very, very, very right. Maximus says, Tom, have a question for you. Let's say we went for a striker instead of Kai, who hit the ground running. How would you envisage this season, considering Kai took time to unlearn Chelsea? As in, like, we signed somebody to then start ahead of Kai Havertz. I mean, if we're signing someone to start ahead of Kai Havertz, it must be because they're pretty darn good, because Kai Havertz is pretty darn good. So as in, there's no player bigger than Arsenal. As long as Arsenal are winning games, as long as Arsenal are playing their best team and rotating effectively and playing the best players possible for each game, I don't care who plays. I've not got any loyalties to any specific player over one other. I just think we need to play the best team possible. Clive says, no, you haven't. Kimmich is mine. I'm sorry, Clive. I give you so much credit. You got to give it to me, mate. You got to give it to me. Adam says, Xerxes supposedly is joining. I haven't heard that, Adam, by the way. Does this mean trying to convert Havertz to a centre mid? I don't think it would mean that. I think Jesus' future is in a bit of question, and Ketia, obviously, as well. I haven't heard that Xerxes is arriving, though. It's just rumours at this point in time. Matthew says, if someone is stubborn and ignorant, you will never change their mind. When a keeper rushes out to make contact with the attacker and not the ball, 9 out of 10 times a penalty is given. This is the reality of football. Hey, look, I am very happy to admit that I can be stubborn. I'm very happy to admit that I'm very self-confident in my opinions. But in my opinion, I think you need to take into account the fact that Havertz is already going down and is looking for the contact. And I would want that to be the case if it was the other way around. It's just my view. And there's a reason why that VAR check took as long as it did. If it was as clear cut as people think, it wouldn't have taken 75 minutes to get the decision in the end. Aaron says, Tottenham will draw with Man City. I'm thinking about the strain and pressure being a tough for luck for them in this game is coming. Can anyone feel as though if Spurs like put in a good performance at the end of the game, they're like 1-1 and they just decide to roll over and let City win at the end? Just say they put in a good performance. They tried, but they don't want Spurs. They don't want Arsenal in the league, so they just kick the ball in the back of the net. I wonder what would happen. Obviously, we'd all be beside ourselves with absolute anger, but I wonder what would happen. I genuinely wonder what the reaction would be to that. Choices, Tottenham only want 3 points. They ain't thinking about us. The aim is to win against your opponent, no matter who they are. Yes, I know Tottenham hate us with a passion, but they won't just give up. It's really difficult to think that they won't just roll over. It's just ingrained in me. Matthew says, Solanke did foul our goalkeeper, not trying to win the ball. He was playing the man, hence the correct decision wasn't playing the ball and the playing the man. The decision was made on the intent and was correct. We agree to disagree, Matthew. That's not a problem. I'm not going to call you ignorant, but we can agree to disagree. Graham says, Trossard has always been good going forwards, but now he tracks back so much more. He's defensively really, really improved. It's a really good point, Graham, actually. It's a fantastic point. Trossard's defensive output has increased dramatically in the last 6 months. He gets back, he tracks back, he tackles, he chases. He's good. He's better positioning-wise. Obviously, when he's playing on the left wing from the start, he has Arteta in his ear when we're shooting in the second half, of course. So that often, I think, does help. So, yeah, definitely. Gimme Box says, imagine throwing your own Champions League ambitions. Proper small club mentality. I mean, I don't think they'll have any Champions League ambitions by that point, but who knows? Fuad says, with Edu going to Saudi, I don't buy that he was just going there. I don't buy it. He didn't go with transfer business in mind. I think we will do some deals with clubs over there in the summer. Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. Patrick says, what happened to Martinelli? He just seems low on confidence. He is a confidence player, Martinelli, and when he's not starting games regularly, I think that he does ultimately suffer a little bit. So I think you're probably right there, mate. Anyway, I think we will end the show there. I'm off to play some golf. I'm going to enjoy my Sunday morning. I hope that you can enjoy your Sundays. We can watch the pretenders of the Premier League, aka Liverpool, try and cling on by their coattails to the title race, of course, to today's games. Brighton against Villa, come on the Seagulls. Chelsea against West Ham, Liverpool against Spurs, and then tomorrow is Crystal Palace against Manchester United. So, yes, we're kind of hoping for a Spurs win, I think, against Liverpool today, which is keeping their Champions League hopes alive. and just putting more nails in the coffin of Liverpool. Just really ending their season in a very, very horrible way indeed. Thank you for listening. Do drop a like on the video. Do subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. I hope you have a really enjoyable, relaxing Sunday. And I'll be with you tomorrow morning to round off all of the latest Arsenal news as well. I also want to round off the show by saying that I thought the both of the respects being paid to Daniel Angier in the very sad passing of the 14-year-old who lost their life earlier this week in a really sad circumstance. I thought that the Ashburton Army, massive respect to them with their banner. In the clock end, I thought that was really, really nice touch. And ultimately, the entire crowd, the Bournemouth players, the Bournemouth substitutes, the Bournemouth crowd as well, everyone getting involved and showing their respect. So I thought that was really, really, it was humbling. It was really, really humbling. So yes, but hopefully Arsenal now from this point will continue on their fine run of form and that we can hope for a bit of a slip up from our rivals. Thank you for listening. Do drop a like on the video, of course, and help us on our way to 1K every single day. And stay safe, well, happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal.
It's the 90-plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18-plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.